Well, good morning. It's good to see everybody that's here this morning. We will go ahead and get started with our call to worship. So if you'll please stand, we will sing Praise Him, Praise Him. Praise Him, praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O earth, His wonderful love proclaim. Hail Him, highest archangels in glory. Strength and honor give to His holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard His children. In His arms He carries them all day long. Praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song. Praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. For our sins He suffered and bled and died. He, our rock, our hope of eternal salvation. Hail Him, Jesus the crucified. Sound His praises, Jesus who bore our sorrows. Love unbounded, wonderful, deep and strong. Praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song. Praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Heavenly portals, loud with hosannas ring. Jesus, Savior, reigneth forever and ever. Crown Him, prophet and priest and king. Christ is coming over the world victorious. Power and glory unto the Lord belong. Praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song. And you may be seated.
Good morning, Hillcrest. As I was sitting over there, I was thinking of, with all this COVID and the things that I like that some things have changed. And as I was looking at the choir, I kind of like the free range look of the choir with the, yeah. But it is nice to have them back on stage with, performing for us and with us. And we did have a good turnout yesterday for the work day, and we got a lot accomplished. We got the shed and the garage emptied out, and so it's going to be going bye-bye here shortly as we begin the building process. So be in prayer for that as we continue on with that. God is always faithful, and but we need to be faithful as well and obedient to Him. I don't have any more announcements, I don't believe. I get to look around to my choir folks to see if we have an announcement. I want to welcome everybody at Hillcrest Baptist Church. If you're a visitor, we appreciate you being here this morning, and we want to welcome you to Hillcrest, and we're going to stand and sing together and turn around and just wave to each other and say you love them. Love you all.
I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood, joined as with Jesus. us as we travel this art. For a part of the family of God.
And you may be seated. And we will continue on with All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name.
Name, let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. And seed of Israel's race, ye ransomed from the fall. Hail him who saves you by his grace, and crown him Lord of all. Hail him who saves you by his grace, and crown him Lord.
On this terrestrial ball, to him all majesty ascribe, and crown him Lord of all. To him all majesty ascribe, and crown him Lord of all. His feet may fall. We'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all. We'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all.
And if you would please stand as we continue on with The Solid Rock.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but only lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. When darkness seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. His oath is covenant is one, supports me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trust,
trumpet sound. Oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand.
And you may be seated.
I'm fixing to ask you, do you have something to praise the Lord about? How was your week this week? Don took off and got rejuvenated. Tell us a little bit about it, Don.
God, so why? together. It was a tremendous time for that as well. This hall of time is very important to God as well. Moses didn't close to God again. You know, it's a good vacation. You struggle to leave the most chaos, but even coming back home with this peace and joy, contentment, and God is with us.
Amen. He left out part of it. He came home. He was fishing with Paula, and he was baiting her hook. And every time he turned around to fish himself, she needed a new worm because they caught so many fish. So he hardly got a chance to fish. And it must have been a blessed time. He brought a bunch of fillets home, so I think he's going to have everybody over for a fish fry. Oh, that wasn't included in that. Well, we're going to pray. We have several that have had really good reports this week of health. They were tested, thought they were positive, but they came back negative, which is a blessing big time. Yesterday, we had a work day here, and we had a good amount of people, but we had the Boy Scouts come and help, and what a blessing, and Girl Scouts. What a blessing that was to have, to see those young children, not children, but some of them are getting to be young men and women, pulling out nails. We had a whole stack of 2x4s and plywood, and some of them had never pulled out a nail before, and they learned how to do that. It was just a good time, and our guys and women that were here got along real well. That was a nice blessing, too. So thank you guys for helping yesterday, and there's going to be more opportunities to help as we go further in the building process. But so let's go to the Lord and thank Him for the blessings. And if you know somebody sick, lift their name up to the Lord. Almighty Father, what an awesome God you are. Lord, we can't hardly describe the feeling we have for you, but we love you. We love you the best we can, Lord. We love you with the love that you've given us and put in our hearts. We serve you the best we can, Father. We commit our lives to you. We surrender our lives to you. We know, Father, that there's not a single thing that goes on in this world that you're not aware of. And Father, when things get out of kilter with us, you have the answer. You know what's going on. And Father, if it's your will, you can fix it. Sometimes, Lord, you let us go through these so we'll learn how to depend on you. We think about all the stuff going on in this country, and Lord, we really need our God to take care of us. Some of us, Lord, don't like certain things, and others are scared of certain things, but we have a God, Lord, that cares for his people. So we thank you, Lord, for that. We do lift up those that are sick, some hurting, some financially. Father, they need help. God, I pray that they'd feel the very presence of God in their life. They'd feel the touch of Jesus as they need healing. I pray, Lord, for our first responders, our medical people that take care of us. I ask, Lord, that you protect them. And as they minister to us, Father, help us to be grateful to them and treat them with kindness and respect. I pray, Lord, as we go out into the world, even though it seems like it's chaotic all over the place, help us, Father, to look like Jesus to them. Help them, Lord, to see something in us that they might want. I pray for our church, Lord, as we look to the future. And Father, as we build, I pray that the building will be a tool. God, it will help us attract people to church. It'll help us to be more committed to go invite people, Father, to come to Hillcrest Baptist Church. I do pray, Lord, that as we build, we would see growth and more ministry available. Lord, that we would be willing to do what you want us to do. Today, Father, as we look at Psalm 127, I pray for your thoughts. Lord, I ask that you would open up our hearts to the very word of God. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. But we're going to look at Psalm 127. So if you would, open your Bibles, and we're going to look at the five verses in this psalm. So Psalm 127, and as you look up in the Bible, the title of this message is All is in vain without the right foundation. I want you to dwell on that thought. Everything that we do is in vain without the right foundation. So today I'm going to be talking about foundations. And there's really only one foundation to build anything on, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. So Psalm 127, the Bible says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate." All is vain without the right foundation. Today's psalm is a song of ascents written by King Solomon. David was his dad. And David, I guess, taught Solomon from day one how to be godly. David lived a godly life in front of Solomon. I know that. Did David sin in front of Solomon at times? But he also showed Solomon how to go to the Lord and ask forgiveness and be repentant. So David was a good dad. Solomon was a great king. The Lord saw fit to give Solomon wisdom. At the time, probably the smartest man on the face of the earth. So he's a pretty good man to write something from the Lord for us to learn about to all generations. As he teaches, I want you to realize that Solomon got his wisdom from the Lord. So let me read to you out of Proverbs chapter 4. I ran across this the other day in my own quiet time, and it ties into Psalm 127. So I want to read it to you. It's Proverbs 4, verses 1 through 7. The Bible says, "Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, 'Let your heart retain my words and keep my commands and live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her and she will preserve you.'" Talking about wisdom will preserve you. "Love her," or love wisdom, "and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and all you're getting, get understanding." So running back to Psalm 127, when you put these back together, you know a man that has been taught by his dad, and he's teaching his children, but he's also teaching us the way of the Lord. Somebody wrote this about Psalm 127 and Solomon. "There is a saying, little is much if God is in it." Repeat that. Little is much if God is in it. But the reverse is also true. Much is nothing if God is not in it. And that's what this psalm says. Unless our activity is ordered and directed by the Lord, it is a waste of time and energy. We can set out on projects of our own, even in Christian service. We can build vast organizational empires. We can amass statistics to show great results. But if the projects are not vines planted by the Lord, they're worse than worthless. Solomon teaches, without the Lord, everything is in vain. Without God, nothing is worth our effort. As I wrote these down, each time I wrote down a thought, I stopped. I reflected on my own life, and then I'm reflecting on the church's life here, but I'm also reflecting on the country. I'm reflecting on generations to come. Three times in Psalm 127, five verses, three times Solomon uses the word vain. And you know, that word just comes out of our mouth and we will say it and keep on going. But when I read words that are important like that, I get my Webster's dictionary out and make sure I have the right definition for it. The word used for vain in Psalm 127 means of no value, worthless. I had to put everything down, pen down, Bible down, and hit the knees, thinking about all the stuff that I've done in my life that is worthless. Huge percentage, I think, of my past life that's worthless, because how, help me with this thought process. How often do we do something without ever asking God to help? We don't even think about the Lord. We just do it. It just seems like it's the right thing to do. Even in church, we'll hear other churches, they did this, and oh man, it worked so well, let's do it. We won't meet, we won't pray about it, we'll just go out and buy the books and we do it. Are we guilty of that? We've done that so many times, it's not funny. If God's not in it, if He doesn't direct our ways, if we don't follow that path that He has lit for us, then Solomon teaches it's in vain. I'm getting cold chills from my ankles to my head. It's scary to think this, how useless a lot of our life is. So today I'm going to talk to you about, unless the Lord is in the building, then we've got nothing. But realize at times He's talking about the family. But I'm going to take it further. I'm going to talk about foundations. And the foundation can be in the family, in your home, in your house, because you got to build on foundation. But it could be a foundation of the church. It could be a foundation of your very life. It could be the foundation of a ministry. Anything we do has to start out with some kind of foundation. So as I jump back and forth on some of these things, realize, number one, I'm going to be talking about a foundation. I'll talk about the foundation of the house, of our home, our children. But I'm also thinking and talking about the foundation of Hillcrest Baptist Church. Not just Hillcrest Baptist Church, but the ministry of God that all churches have. The ministry of God that we as children of God have. So let's look at the first three verses. Remember, this is a song of ascent. They're getting out and they're singing this as they go up to the Jerusalem to worship God. So just look at the first part. Let's read verses 1 through 3, and then we're going to look at the very first part of verse 1. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. So that's the first point. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so He gives His beloved sleep. Behold, the children, our children, are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. So let's look at the first part of verse 1. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. It's talking about building a foundation for a house right now. But realize that I'm going to be talking about the house, the home, the church, your life, my life. As we think about this, it's imperative that we build on a pretty solid foundation, anything we build, right? You build something on a faulty foundation, and sooner or later you're going to have problems with it. It's not going to stand, especially if you build a house on a faulty foundation. But also, as we think about a foundation for a house, I want you to think about a foundation for a ministry. As you guys look at me, I am a minister of the Lord Jesus Christ. How important is it for me to have a good foundation in God? Pretty important to you guys that I have a foundation in the Lord, isn't it? Or any man that stands up in this pulpit, or any pulpit, but not just the pulpit, as we go out yonder and minister for the Lord, as well as deacons, Sunday school teachers, and Christians. So we need to lay a solid foundation in our homes, but also in everything that we do. It seems to me that there's two ways to build a solid, there's two ways to build a foundation. The first way is to move ahead with the plans based on our knowledge, our strength, our wisdom, our abilities, and get something built, and then ask God to bless it. We do that. Or we could wait until God gives us guidance, and sometimes it takes years for God to guide us, and we'd be patient with the Lord. We continue to pray God's guidance, and we wait till He lights that path up for us, and then we choose that path, and we walk down it, and we wait more. We'd be patient with the Lord. And finally, He says, do something, and then we do it. And when we do it God's way, it's victorious every single time. So two ways that a church, a person, a family, a home can be built. Sometimes we just rush into things and build it ourselves, and if it's our life, no wonder we have lives that fall apart later on. So we wait on the Lord. So the first example, building our anything, if we do it without the Lord, it never rises past our ability or our finances or our thoughts. But if we wait on the Lord and build it on the Lord, it always surpasses our abilities and our finances and anything else about us. And we see miracles, and we see growth that you can't even count. So unless we build it in the Lord, we have nothing. Useless, period. So when we build something for the Lord, which is better, God's success or man's success? Now, a pastor has to look at that in every decision he makes for the church. I can tell you right now, I go through this process, everything we do here at church. Is this you, God, or is it us? Now, that's not saying that I don't make a mistake and choose something that I've been influenced, I like it, or you guys have talked me into something. You know how it goes. And sometimes those things don't work, do they? The pastor will take the brunt of that because I've allowed it to happen. But every single one of us would rather have something God built and His success. And that's what we shoot for at church. Anything else, this is the kicker. Anything else is useless, worthless. Solomon says it's vain. This is the Bible. This is God speaking through Solomon. This is not my opinion. Anything that's not built on by the Lord, the Bible says, is vain, useless, worthless. So this was five verses that when I looked at it, I said, this is going to be a cinch. This is going to be so fast, get this thing done. This has been the hardest one to prepare because of the thought process of looking back at the past and seeing, well, man alive, did I mess that up? Man alive, did I do that and this and that? So I put this down and I made a list of men that built a ministry. And some of them you've heard of, some of them you haven't, especially the younger people. Have you ever heard of Robert Tilton? He had a huge TV evangelistic ministry. I remember seeing him. He had his hair slicked back, had the $2,000 suits. I mean, he was pretty. I was going to say purdy, but I decided we're on Facebook. I won't say purdy. He was gorgeous, had his teeth all straight and white, had a smile that all his teeth showed. I don't know if you guys saw him on TV or not. He'd put his hand on you and you felt like you were healed right there. He wasn't in the healing ministry, but he did that sometimes. He would tell you to send in money and he'd send where do you blow your nose on? Handkerchief that's been prayed over. And people would send money in for those handkerchiefs. And they never prayed over those handkerchiefs. He had that highly rated and successful TV ministry, and then he was convicted of fraud. Remember Tammy and Jim Baker? He had a PTL club, the Heritage USA in South Carolina. I mean, again, they were pretty. Tammy Faye had that hair about like that, you know, and all that makeup on. You remember? She was gorgeous. And, they'd get on TV and make you feel so good, and then he gives up his ministry because of sexual abuse and financial theft. Tony Alamo, anybody remember him? When we were dating, he had a TV ministry, I mean a street ministry down in downtown Nashville. He had Tony Alamo boot show, thing, and he was a street preacher. You'd love to listen to him, just a good old guy, you know, country western type of guy. He just down to earth and preached a good message. And then he was arrested for child porn, marrying an 8-year-old girl. Bill Hybels, Willow Creek Community Church, he got fired for sexual misconduct. Mark Driscoll got fired for abuse of power. Dave Gass renounced his Christian faith. A good preacher, been preaching for 20-some years, and got up in the pulpit and said, "This has all been a farce. I don't believe a word of it." Just gave up his faith right there. Ted Haggard, he was an anti-gay activist, strong stance against homosexuality. He'd get on TV and, "That's wrong, you're going to hell," and all that stuff. The whole time he's carrying on a homosexual lifestyle. Ray Bolts did the same thing, Christian singer. I loved Ray Bolts, and turned out that he was doing the same. Why did all these men fail in these ministries? Because their house was not built on the Lord. Their house was built on self, on what they were able to do. And they get the lights, the TVs, and audiences that just adored them. But let me give you some things that they missed out on, some lessons they missed. First of all, if you're a preacher or if you're a Christian, your ministry isn't yours, it's God's. Your church isn't yours. Whose is it? It's God's. Your life is not yours, it's God's. Your family is not yours, it's God's. Talking to preachers, you preach from a platform, not a pedestal. All these guys that were on TV put themselves up higher than anybody else, and sooner or later, when you're on a pedestal, you're going to fall. You're, especially preachers, are susceptible to sin, which leads to the second part of verse 1. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. All your watching is useless unless the Lord watches for you. It's in vain. So drop down to verse 3, and let's start as we're talking about foundations and building. We're going to talk about children for just a second. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. In verses 1 and 2, we see Solomon talk about building a foundation for a house, and I'm carrying into a ministry or a church or a life, your life. But now we're going to talk about children and our own homes, building a foundation at home. If you built your house on the Lord, if you built your house, your foundation on the Lord, your children will grow up watching you as you honor and glorify God. Shake your head if you heard me. As a Christian family, and we have built our foundation on the Lord and raised a home, if we are doing what God has told us to do, then those kids that we have, our own children, will see Dad and Mom both living a life that honors and glorifies God. Pretty simple. Again, I had put the pen down. You know, I've told you my testimony before, and I'll continue to tell you. This guy was not a very good spiritual leader for when my kids were that little. They never saw Daddy pray. They never saw Daddy read his Bible. They never saw Daddy go to church. So as I'm looking back on my life, and I raised my kids, I loved them. They knew I loved them. I provided for them the best I could, and sometimes I pretty well I provided for them. They never went hungry. They always had coats when it was cold and clothes. And most of the time they had tennis shoes. I had a boy, so that was you know, how boys and tennis shoes go. Sometimes they come home with one tennis shoe and wonder what in the world. So anyways, they didn't see Daddy honoring God. They had Mom, the spiritual leader of the house. Now what did verse 1 say? If you don't build your house, your foundation on the Lord, then everything's in vain. And the definition of vain is what? Useless, worthless. So looking at from God's point of view, what did God see in me as I didn't raise my kids in the Lord? That's why I had to put the, I could see in your eyes, that's why I had to put the pen down and quit writing and do some self reflecting and see what was going on in my life. Did I obey the Word of God? Not for a long time. So, you know, when I preach to myself, who do I turn to then? I'm going to preach to you. Do your children see you honor and glorify God in everything that you do? I'm going to give you a little leeway here. None of us are perfect, and we know that. Every so often we're going to mess up. We're going to be sinful. God knows this. But here's the deal. How many of us are showing our kids what this is and reading the Bible to them, or let them see us read it? How many of us are letting our children see us pray? Or as they go to bed, get in bed with them or kneel down beside the bed and pray with them. That's the way you build a spiritual house. Do your children see you obey the Word of God? They'll grow up just like you teach them. Unless the Lord does something different with them. So are you teaching them godly discipline? Loving them in the way the Lord did them, but teach them the right way. Amanda, I saw you up there. My knee started shaking right there. I knew what you're doing. But that's so great. I've watched you teach your children. And thank you. But then I saw your eyes go. Amen, sister. Keep it up. Do we teach our kids godly discipline? It takes a hard work. We constantly have to watch them. You know that flab right there? Well, some of you don't, but some of us have that flab right there, and you get in the wind and it goes like that. My mama knew exactly where that weakest part was. You know, I had a drug problem when I was little. I got drugged to church, and I didn't want to be at church, and I wanted to do everything but listen to the preacher. Mom didn't look at me and go like that. Mom grabbed that stuff right there and pinched hard. I hated it. I hated it. Every Sunday, I came home with bruises on my arm. Well, she'd get put in jail nowadays for that stuff, but she never gave up. I was 23 years old. She's still pinching me. No, I'm kidding about that. But, you know, she was teaching me to be quiet in church and to listen to the preacher and to meditate and pray. But at the time, I didn't know that. I didn't appreciate it, that's for sure. Are we teaching our kids, building the house, building the foundation on the Lord? If we're not doing the stuff that God has told us to do, then it's in vain. Then the Bible says, your children are a heritage from the Lord, an inheritance from the Lord? Do we treat them like they're a heritage from the Lord? If he's thought enough of those children to let us inherit those children, who owns those? Who do those children belong to begin with? The Lord Jesus Christ. And he's entrusting us with his children. So they have a great value, a godly value. Are we teaching them that God loves them and they are valued so much in God's eyes that he sent his son to die for their sins so that they could live eternally with him? Are we loving them in the Lord? How often, dads, do you tell your children, and I'm talking about your grown children, you love them? I was talking to my son this week. He's 37, I think. 38? 39. I knew it. He's 39. Boy, time flies, doesn't it? 39 years old, and he's tough as nails. And at the end of the conversation, I said, I love you, Jerry. And he said, Dad, I love you too. How often do we tell our kids that we love them? How often do we protect our kids? Put our arms around them and really protect them like that, or pray, surround them in prayer. Protect them as they go out. This world, you know how bad it is. When our kids went out on dates, our prayer life went shoo. I mean to tell you, especially Jerry, again, boys. And then Renee, too, being a girl and going out with boys. You pray for them. You guard them with prayers. This is the foundation that God has put in us to do. And if we're not doing that, it's in vain. What does in vain mean? It's worthless, useless. Anything less than God wants is useless. It's worthless. Our children are valuable, not only to God, but to us. They're an inheritance to us. God gives us them so that we will teach them the very foundation that God has given us to build. Just like building a foundation for a house, you teach them God's word, you teach them how to pray, you teach them how to worship God, you teach them how to sit down and be respectful. We show them not only that they have value to God, but God has value to them. Anything less is vain. Now, if we raise them apart from God's foundation, then we raise them what? In vain. Do I need to repeat that? I have to put the pen down again. I put my pen down more times on this five verse sermon. Anything other than God's foundation is in vain. Somebody wrote this in one of my books. Children are a gift from the Lord. They are also a heritage and a reward. A rich man said to a poor man who had many children, "These are they which make rich men poor." The poor man responded, "No, these are they that which make a poor man rich. For there's not one of these whom we would part with for all your wealth." An old German proverb says this, "Many children make for many prayers, and many prayers make for many blessings." Too often today, children are considered a burden rather than a blessing. We need to learn how to trust in God and realize they're a gift from the Lord. Now look at the blessings of a home or a church or a life or a business or a ministry or anything built on God's foundation. Look at verses 4 and 5. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in their gates. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior. Can you imagine being a warrior, a great conqueror, and you reach back there and you got no arrows at all? Well, God is supplying our weapons, what we need, to raise our children. He supplies great churches, great church people. He supplies, anybody wants a Bible, you don't have one, I promise you we'll get you one. He supplies all the tools that we need to raise our children. Here's two things that he supplies to every single person. I guess maybe every, maybe you lose one. He supplies two real good knees to protect your children. Verse 5, there's three thoughts in there that you just really got to look for them. Talks about happiness. If you built your house, your foundation of the Lord, you'll be happy or blessed. You'll not be ashamed. And you'll have peace. Now think about all the families in this world. Think about Christian families, non-Christian families. And the Bible's speaking to us. If you build your house on the Lord, on His foundation, then God is going to bless. And there's going to be happiness in our homes. There's going to be peace in our homes. It's all going to work. Will there be blips? Yes. Solomon knew all about those blips. How many wives and concubines did he have? He got away from the Lord. As wise as he was, he kept on. I don't understand that part of it, but he came back to the Lord. There's five takeaways I want us to hear today, and then we'll dismiss. Five principles on building on God's foundation. Number one, commit all that you begin to the Lord. As a preacher, I have an obligation to sit down with people before I marry them and go over these with them. As a young couple, we commit our house to God. We commit our lives to God. We commit whatever we're going to be building to the Lord. We're planning later on to have children. You may have children right away. But you plan, husband and wife, as a family, to commit you, your building, your foundation, whatever the endeavor is you're going to do, to the Lord. If you're going to start a business, husband and wife, you commit it to the Lord. Chick-fil-A, he committed that to the Lord. And look at it now. Sometimes you, all the way around the block, they'll be waiting to get in there. They don't open on Sundays. How in the world do they make that work? Because the foundation is built on God. Number two, not only do you commit all that you begin to the Lord, but then you submit all that you have to the Lord. We were talking about submitting this morning. It's hard. Oh, yeah, it's hard to submit to the Lord. But I'm saying to build it on God's foundation, we submit all that we have to the Lord. You submit your time to the Lord. You submit your monies to the Lord. You submit your family to the Lord. You submit your church, your business. I mean, anything that you have, you submit it to the Lord. You're in submission to God. You give it to God, but you know what God's going to do in return? He's going to bless that and give it back to you tenfold, hundredfold, 500-fold. So we commit all to begin with, and then we submit to God, but then you recognize that all you have is from the Lord. Every single blessing, everything you have, all those 2x4s and the nails, all that's from the Lord, all that belongs to the Lord, the monies, the time, you got 24 hours a day, that came from the Lord, that's His time. Everything that you have, it all is from God. So as we recognize that, for instance, tithing. When you give God 10%, you're giving Him 10% of His money already. Malachi 3 tells us, you give me 10%, I'm going to give you a whole bunch. We don't give because we're expecting that whole bunch to come. But it happens. Can you explain it? No, you can't explain it, but it just happens. You recognize that everything you have belongs to God. So you commit, you submit, and you recognize that it's all from God. And then number four, you trust God in all that you do. If you trust God with all that you do, then you leave the results to Him. And that's the point we're at as a church. We've waited and been patient about building. We've done it. It's taken 10 years to get to this point. We've given quite a bit of money already towards it. But we committed to the Lord before we began the building process 10 years ago. We voted on it. We committed that this was where God was going to take us. We submit every single Sunday, every day of the week. We submit all that we have to the Lord. We recognize that it all belongs to Him. And then we trust the thing that we're doing to the Lord and then leave the success up to Him. When we build that Family Life Center and we're going to borrow the $1.4 million, we're going to do our part, but God's going to do His part. I trust Him 100% to do His part. Can you think of a time when God's allowed you to fail when you're doing it His way? Never. He's taken care of Hillcrest Baptist Church so many times. Number five, this is the last one, you build everything on the Lord's foundation. Anything else is of no value. Again, I put the pen down and I thought the past and the future. Anything we build it on the Lord's foundation. Anything less is of no value. It's in vain. So where does that leave us? That's where you have to put down the pen. You reflect. How's your life been up to this point? Have we trusted God with everything in our lives? Have we built on God's foundation? And if we do, then we trust God with the results. Are we faithful to do what God has told us to do? Well, I'm going to give you an invitation. If something has not been right in your life, you can do this in your pew, or later on you can come up here to the altar. You can say, Lord, I'm like Brother Jerry. I didn't get it all right. And I ask forgiveness. Forgive me, Lord. But at this very moment, I'm going to recommit my life to you and try my best to build on your foundation. God has no problem with that past. Man, He forgives that when we ask. He doesn't remember it. You get to that point, say, that's past. Lord, we're going forward now. Maybe you don't have Jesus in your heart. I ask you to come forward. I'll be standing right here. Come forward and say, Brother Jerry, I don't have Christ in my life. That's the foundational block right there. That's the cornerstone. You've got to have Jesus. I don't know how you feel. This was a kicker for me. It kicked me all over the place just thinking. And I don't want to take away from the good either. You know, God is, I've done some good things for the Lord. I know I have. You've done some good things for the Lord. But there are things that maybe we need to get right with God, especially going into the new year. So let's stand and we'll let God have His way. And if He speaks to your heart, you just respond to Him and I'll be up here if you need prayer. I'd love to pray with you. If you need just to pray by yourself, that would be fine too. Let's pray. Almighty Father, this is your time. I pray that you'd speak to our hearts. Father, define for us in our own minds the word vain. Has our life been in vain? Has it been useless? Or has it been successful? Or a little bit of both? Father, I know we're not perfect at all. You know we're not perfect at all, but are we willing to try it your way? So speak to us, Father. Give us that strong feeling that we just know that God's listening and He's right here with us. Lord, if there's somebody that needs you in their life, I pray that they would come forward today and just take my hand and say, Jerry, I need Jesus. We love you, Lord, and we praise you and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.